This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories of local legends in the Australian running community that you've simply always wanted to hear. In this new spin-off series, Road to Noosa, Paul Goulet, Brooke Williams, and myself, Ollie Jones, join the podcast to discuss our training leading into the Noosa Runaway Marathon Festival in May. With Brooke and I in the half and Paul in the marathon, we discuss all things training weeks, nutrition, footwear, mental strategies, and everyday life surrounding our running leading up to the event. We hope you enjoy this spin-off series from the regular Local Legends in Running podcast interviews. Okay, welcome to Road to Noosa series of the Local Legends in Running podcast. This is episode 3, isn't it, guys?
Yep.
It is, yeah.
It is. So welcome back. A bit of a change this morning in weather in Brisbane. I was out there this morning quite late for me, about 6:30 in the running pram, intended to run by myself, but my son woke up and I was out there in the pram with him, and just a drop of about 5 degrees with wind. It felt like the middle of winter. It was fantastic. I'm not sure if you were out this morning, Paul, to feel that, but the change was great. Yeah. But I'll officially welcome the co-host as usual, the four-time competitor in the 10K Zatopek Champs. That would be Brooke Williams. Welcome to you.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. I got that right this time, four times, not three, like I said the other week. And Paul Goulet, the gym guru of Brisbane Northside. How are you, mate? Welcome.
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
Fresh off, or not fresh now. We intended to do this podcast a week or so ago after the Noosa 80K trail event, which Paul was in. So we will talk about that in due course. But some other things that will come up through the episode today will be discussions around the Nationals coming up. And Cam Myers for the men's has been running fantastically well. So he's a hot topic at the moment. And so is probably Jess Hull on the female side. The other one too, which we'll get to, is Jess Denson's remarkable marathon too from the weekend. 36 years old, 7 months post baby. But also Brooke will talk, I'm sure, about how in depth that the women's marathon now is, about five women around that sort of 2 hours, 21 to 24-ish, even 23-ish as well. And as usual, the usual stuff like the running weeks, which we talk about. So the listeners can learn about some local Brisbane and New South Wales runners in Brooke. So anyway, let's get ahead. And I think the most fresh bit of running news in our minds is probably Jess Denson to begin with. And as I said, it was the marathon was in Daegu, I think is pronunciation. Is that right? In Korea, South Korea?
Yeah.
Yeah, just yes. on the weekend. And she's run 2 hours 23 something from memory, Brooke, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think 2:23:58 or 59. Yeah.
Yeah, so high 2:23 doesn't matter so much in the marathon. And for her, I think it was her second best time. Yeah, 7 months post partum as well. the more I flick through the news, the more it reminds me of how many women are out there in a roundabout. And well, we know that they're faster. Sinead Diver, I think now the fastest amongst about five women too. So it's looking very promising. The depth in women's running, particularly that marathon event, Rook.
Oh, so amazing. It almost reminds me of, like, you know, when men started breaking the 4 minute mile barrier and then everyone started doing it. I think it's just now that people are showing that you can do it and like the bar has been raised, like everyone's just doing it now and they're finding ways and helping each other. And I think it's so nice too, because like the Aussie women, girls, they're all really friendly. So they're all like helping each other and encouraging each other. So yeah, it's just phenomenal. It's like the bar's just been lifted and everyone's just going for it and running PBs.
Oh,
Couldn't
it's
ask for
crazy.
much more.
Yeah, so at the moment we've got just had to bring this up so I didn't forget about it. Sinead Diver, 2 hours 21:34. Gregson, 2:23:08. These are PBs, I think this website's listing.
Yeah.
Lisa Waitman, 2:23:15, and Izzy Bat Doyle, 2:23:27. And there's a few others around there that they haven't listed. Yeah, in that particular range of women. So isn't that a good thing for women's running
Yeah.
too.
I think it's going to be really hard for the selectors because like I was talking to Mona about it and he's like, I'm glad I'm not a selector this year. Because it's really hard because yes, you know, on paper, like a PB, you know, you would assume looking at numbers and PBs, it's they're the best performer. But also like for example, like Jess Stenson, she's always proven to perform on the biggest stage, you know what I mean, for Australia, and done so well like at Comm Games, and she's been fantastic up hills and in heat and everything like that. Like it's going to be so hard for them to choose. Like I guess by the selection criteria they'll have to choose the fastest time, but in that circumstances, like you're representing your country on the biggest stage, it's hard. It's going to be so hard for them to choose. Yeah,
What
because
is
it
the selection criteria? So what is the qualifying standard?
the
Good
qualifying
question.
standard is 226, I think. So they're
Yeah.
all well under that. And I
So
think
does
like
yeah,
they
226.50.
do have to choose the top three by time, but also there's always an asterisk saying discretion. So the
Yeah.
selectors can just not choose you if they just don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because might for some reason it's happened regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think they probably will choose top three, but
Yeah.
it'll be so challenging. And I think, yeah, like I guess it's understandable if they don't also.
Well, that's a good lead in to what was mentioned before about like the Olympic trial sort of format of
Oh,
like the marathon. So
I've got a bit of a rant about this.
yeah, so
I
you've
just
always
think
yeah.
like Athletics Australia is our governing body, right, for our sport. I feel like if this was the case in swimming or cycling, this just wouldn't happen because I feel like there's so many. Yes, it's great that everyone's raising the bar and running faster to try and get this time, but I feel like now we're pretty close to the Olympics. They should be already starting to prepare for that, like
Yeah.
doing like 20-week blocks. And I just think, I don't know, like, are they really like Athletics Australia, the governing body of our sport? Shouldn't they be putting athletes first and trying to prepare them in the best way possible to represent our country at the best event, sporting event, you know, the Olympics? And I
Yeah.
just think like America does it right because they have their trials early, and no matter what is happening, whatever time you're running around that time, they've picked the team. They're putting all their funding, all their support towards those three girls and an alternative athlete to prepare them for the event, which is what they're meant to do. I don't
Yeah.
know. I'm watching. It's great to see everyone perform well, which is amazing. But I've also watched other athletes trying for this time to get the fastest time. You know, and they're spending all their money. They probably don't
Yeah.
aren't getting funding for to go and get the time. And who knows, that could cause, you know, them to break down a little bit. Every marathon's also always going to do something to your body. So there's a bit of an unknown of how they're going to then bounce back for the next one. Like we do have a track record in the past of athletes sort of getting to championships and they're not performing their best. So I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting there you say that because it's almost like rather than that sort of like you're representing your country, it's as much as you're out there running on your own, you want it to feel like a team environment. And the way it's sort of like everybody's trying to get the qualifying time, it's like each person for their own. They're all out there on their own trying to do this, rather than like you say, if you did go down like sort of what the Americans do, and then everybody comes together, the top three automatically they get the qualification, and then they can sort of like get together and start planning with the affiliation and the body like Athletics Australia and start to work towards that event, and rather than getting to this stage where, like, yeah, like obviously Jesse's just went and run that marathon last weekend. It's like everybody's doing it individually, and it's like, when are they actually going to announce the team as well? So yeah,
well, they've got until May 5th, and so I think Ali Pashley is still going to run a marathon possibly before then, because she's one of our top athletes possibly so other week.
How many weeks does that leave us from there then until the marathon?
What's May? So May 5th until, is it July?
Is it July 20th? I think, is it? Yeah.
It's not long.
It's like you say, like these girls that have qualified, like what are they doing right now? Are they like going in with a preparation that they might get a chance to run the marathon, or it's all up in the air, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they've started their block to prepare for the marathon, the Olympics yet.
But it's still the uncertainty of that, though, is like what are they going to be doing?
Yeah. I think for the marathon event, because you do need a long prep to do your best. I just think, why not do it early? Like, I don't know. But I think they're thinking about it. Like, I was talking to Mona about it, and he's like, I think the board is like, they've realized that this is probably better. Yeah, and I think they're thinking of different ways to do it for Com Games if it goes ahead, and then same with the next Olympics. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it has a bit of a change.
Yeah.
Another one that we spoke about earlier was Cameron Myers, and that's probably a good segue into the Nationals coming up very, very shortly, which features the middle distance world or distance running, predominantly the 1500 and 5K events. I guess the 800's in there as well. But if we touch on Cameron Myers, because he's just been ripping form lately, and you know the comparisons are definitely, I think, appropriate to people like Jakob Ingebrigtsen, in the sense that he is if not one of the fastest in the world for his age at the moment. And that is a 7:47 was the time that he recorded a under 20 now, beat Drew Thomas's under 23K record just within the last month, and also ran that 3:33, another 3:33. It was in a Diamond League. He'd run just a little bit quicker, a low 3:33 from memory, now two in that sort of range anyway, showing us what he can offer. But as we scroll down the list of 1500 meter, if we start there for the men's, it's remarkable how many actually are within about 3:29 to 3:34. And if I call out their names very quickly, so obviously McSwain's been under, and Ollie Hoare. We've also got guys like Peter Boll, 3:34 on that list, and Jesse Hunt, 3:33. We've got Cameron Myers, that we said, 3:33. Moving up the list, 3:31, Adam Spencer in there too. We've seen the Queenslander, Callum Davies, also a 3:34, pretty much on the nose too the other week. So very strong in the men's 1500 if we start there, Paul.
Also Ollie Hoare. He's coming back from injury. Can't count him out.
Yeah, I think I may have mentioned him as a sub 3:30 there at the start, but absolutely, What do you think, Paul? Who's your pick at the moment?
I don't know. As you go, I mean, it's hard to look past Stewie, isn't it? But yeah, like you say, there is a very like good depth in that. And the names that you've listed off there, and like somebody like Cam Myers obviously running really well at the minute, and you obviously got Ollie coming back from a bit of a layoff. So yeah, I think it's one of those ones that's probably hard to really nail on and pick someone. So yeah, you've got sort of maybe four or five that could probably take that one out.
Yeah, what do you think, Brooke? She's I think about ladies.
Stewie just makes it look easy, doesn't it?
He's a good racer. When we talk about good racers, he's one of them, often slow off the mark, doesn't have that top end speed to get with them in that first couple of hundred meters. But once he's there, we know he races hard and provides the goods at the end. But so does someone like Ollie Hoare too, hey?
He knows though, like he knows how to race in his advantage. Like that's why in all the heats he'll go out first and front run. And yeah, he knows how he races the best.
Yeah, and the women's too. So it seemed like the 4 minute mark, that was a marker for the mile many years ago for men, but for the women in 1500 meters, that is, has seemed like a mark for years. But there's a number of current women under that. Lyndon Hall, by example, 356.92 is her PB. Jess Hull running super well too. We've spoken about her on the podcast, 357. Abby Caldwell, another one, 359. These ladies have to be amongst potential winners there, Brooke, in the 1500 for the ladies.
Yeah, I think, the top pack will probably be Lyndon, Jess, Abby. Do you know Morty Skyring?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, she's in good form. Sarah Billings too. I think she almost broke 2 minutes for the 800 recently. And yeah, Georgia Griffith's in good shape too. So I think they'll all be top contenders. Could be a bit of an upset, actually, I reckon. I think something might happen here. Someone will get beaten who's probably not meant to. I don't know. Just have a feeling.
Well, the event's made for that 1500 meters. You never know. It's not like a 5:10 or a marathon, is it? It's quite unpredictable. And most of the, that group will be together, pretty much to that last bend. So who's going to be the one that has that last kicker to take them over and win the race?
That's the exciting thing about the 15.
I love the 1500. Yeah, such a good event to watch. I'll stay with the women though, Brooke, and you, because I've just changed my filter to 5K now on the website. It's a great website, by the way, meetsrosterathletics.com for anyone looking to find, and that's just through the Athletics Australia website, all these times and runners. Jess Hull's a far way ahead of the rest at 14:43 for her PB, but you got others on that list, like Jen Gregson with the low 15 before, but she's been focusing on the marathon in more recent times post-baby. Others include on there Holly Campbell, 15:10, Izzy Bat-Doyle's run of sub-15, 14:59. Have I missed any? Oh, Lauren Ryan, is, of course, I've missed her. She's in great form at the moment, Brooke.
Yeah, it'll definitely be between Jess, Rose, Lauren, and Izzy, I think. And don't count out Jenny Blundell, though. She's been to Olympics before.
Yeah,
and she's good shape. She ran that PB at the Sydney 3K. So can be a bit different with that one too. Sometimes it's tactful. Sometimes they go out slow and then it's whoever can finish strong, like the last mile or, last three laps. So a bit of an unknown sometimes too.
Yeah, and these are starting as soon as tomorrow, isn't it? Have I got that correct? 11th through to 14th of April.
Yeah, they'll start some heats tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I know the school kids too have their champs over the weekend, often because the school cross-country camps are hosted over this weekend, and sometimes the cross-country runners are out at these events. I had a very unique experience a couple of years back at Churchy, coaching there, putting up the big screen and watching one of our fellow athletes as a team and cheering him on. Didn't win the race, this kid, but I think he podiumed it, and it's great to see that they offer those opportunities for the youngsters as well.
Yeah, so good. It's such an important experience, or just a, I don't know. It's such a good experience for the young ones, the nationals.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think we can now probably move on to the running weeks, but I think it'd be pertinent to start with Paul, because Paul, if we were on here, almost 2 weeks ago now, Paul, it would have been very fresh off your 80K Noosa trail event, which we were speaking about leading into that on the podcast beforehand. Of course, the main thing is Noosa in the conversations we have, but this was a big part of your training and now recovery. And we spoke off air about how you can potentially use that moving forward as kind of an aerobic base.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's 2.5 weeks post the event there. And yeah, obviously a solid, I think it was from like the turn of the year, really focused on like mileage leading into the ultra. So a good sort of 3 months of training, just trying to be consistent and churn out anywhere sort of between 130 to 160K weeks, which was a little bit different to the previous year. And also focused a lot more on just getting out some like sessions as well, not obviously like any track work or any real fast things, but just doing some sort of tempo things and just getting a ton over the legs. So obviously always helps with the aerobic capacity as well. And yeah, leading into like the Noosa Marathon, it's obviously not a proper sort of marathon block, if you like, because a lot of the focus was on the ultra to begin with, but because of the mileage that you're doing and the long runs that you're getting in, it does obviously put you in good stead for a marathon block as well. So now I think we're six and a half weeks until we lace up at Noosa. So it's not obviously a long training block now for me, but I've obviously got that aerobic base. So as I said off air, it's time to just try and get some speed and the speed endurance couple together to go and run a bit faster over a little bit of a shorter distance for me. Yeah.
You still get a lot done in 6 weeks.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the base is there. It's like, I mean, it's just not like you're just coming off sitting on the couch and doing nothing. Yeah, the base is there, and it's more of the focusing on the recovery. I'm probably at the same stage now as I was a year ago. In terms of, because I led into GC30 after doing the 80K at Noosa last year and had a really good run down there. And I think, like I said off air as well, the body probably feels a little bit like the recovery's been more required this year because I'd run a lot of the 80K this year, whereas last year I did walk quite a bit. So the recovery, I didn't feel like it took as much out of my body, even though I struggled on the day. It didn't take as much out of me, so I feel I was able to bounce back a lot quicker. Whereas, even though, like I say, I'm around about the same stage now, I'm just trying to deal with a couple of little niggles here and there, so trying to translate that into speed work as well. You just really need to keep on top of those niggles as well.
Yeah, very different this year too, with the rain that was quite unpredicted leading into the event in those sort of last 48 hours, which completely changes the environment that you run in. Like, it must bring some anxiety. Maybe it doesn't for those trail runners. Maybe they like that unpredictability, but even for marathoners on the road, you can't predict conditions, weather conditions. The forecasters struggle at predicting the weather, let alone a marathon in a fun run. But then on the trails, that turns from glorious, you know, dirt and rocks to thick, wet and mud and slower conditions, hey?
Yeah, it is, and I think it's one of those things that you've like the conditions, like, it's not the same for everyone. People will enjoy different conditions and they'll run better in varying conditions. And I think certainly for me, the conditions this year suited me better because it wasn't as I suffer a lot from cramps. So obviously the warmer it is, the more sort of like you're relying on that nutrition. And like I say, I started to really struggle around about 30Ks into the run last year, and it was just really warm. Like the sun was just beating down, the humidity was high. Whereas this year, like a lot cooler, but a lot of water on the course. So there was a few parts of the course that was probably frustrating. That's probably the way I would describe it, particularly towards the end. I remember, like, and again, just the experience of running last year, and you think, like, this is how I felt at this stage last year. And every time I got to a certain stage of the race, I always sort of told myself, like, I'm feeling a lot better than I was at this stage last year. And the last section of trail, which is maybe about 7 or 8 Ks to go, it was like a swamp. And you couldn't really run much through there. That's probably where I would say it was frustrating, because I wanted to run. I had a lot of running left in me. And it was just that you really had to sort of watch where your footing was going. And I was really looking forward to getting out. I knew the last section was on the road again, which is about 2 or 3 K. I was about 3 Ks to go. And I knew that once I hit that road, I was going to have a fairly strong finish, which I did. I was able to open the legs up a little bit and bring it home. So yeah, definitely challenging conditions underfoot, but I prefer it that way to it being too warm overhead. So yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find this year, because you'd done it in the past, like last year, you had a better mental game going into this one?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's actually really funny, because you're never sure what's going to happen in the latter stage of it, like, no matter how well your training's going or this, that, and the next thing. So I went out very conservative this year. And that's probably the one thing that if I reflect back on is like maybe I could have went out a little bit like quicker at the start and maybe tried to stick with the two guys that were leading it. In the end, I think I was about 55 minutes behind first, and I was about 45 minutes behind second. So they were closer than I was. Like first and second were closer than second and third. But it was, for me, it was like that thought process of last year and knowing where I struggled, and yeah, just trying to be a bit conservative, knowing that the big climb was coming up around about the sort of 30K mark is where I started to struggle last year. So get to that stage, keep the fluids up. I actually started using salt tablets this year, just basic over-the-counter from Chemist Warehouse. It's literally just like taking, I can't remember if I mentioned this before in training, but yeah, it's just a sodium tablet, so it's like taking table salt.
Yeah,
you just knock the bark in it, and just boom. So long as you don't like leave it lingering in your mouth too long, just quickly swallow water with it. You don't really taste it. So, but yeah, I was taking salt tablets probably every 10 minutes. So I took a sort of high volume of salt over the duration of the run, and that certainly helped. But yeah, just being conservative. There was only one time during the race where I hit a bit of mental fatigue, and that was around about 50Ks. I remember sort of like I started to feel a little bit cramp in my right calf muscle. And then at that stage, I was actually feeling a little bit pain in my right knee on the downhill. So on the uphills, I'm feeling pain in my calf. On the downhills, I'm feeling pain in the knee. And I'm trying to weigh up, like, what's the better pain? I'm thinking downhill is definitely better. The knee's more tolerable. But fortunately at that stage where I was kind of just battling some demons and just thinking, oh, like it's easy to sort of to back off here and just take it easy. There was a checkpoint just coming up 3Ks later, and I got in there, sort of changed a t-shirt, put a singlet on. You obviously speak to a few people. Katie was crewing for me. So she was there. She was great for me the whole day. And yeah, just refuel again there and come out that checkpoint, and yeah, just feeling a bit revitalized and ready to go for the final sort of 30Ks of the run. So yeah.
Yeah, well, amazing. Interesting to see how the training goes now. It's the third week of training post the event. And I think today we're going to talk about last week's training for you, then Paul, 2 weeks out of the event. They talk about certain time frames from a marathon as to how long it would take you to get back to running a normal week. So it'd be interesting to see what last week looked like for you, and then how that's going to appear moving forward. So how'd you kick off week two on the Monday? Were you back to jogging?
Yeah. So I mean, pretty much like obviously there was no running for me on that the week after the run anyway. So the first week back, which obviously like the week after the event, I kind of just gave. I almost kind of had to force myself to get back out the door. I was just like, I was enjoying the time off. I was enjoying the sleep ins, but the Monday morning I was like, nah, we'll go back out for a jog and we'll see how we go. And most of that way, I think Monday I did an easy 8K, and I think that was the theme for my week, was just the 8K barrier around about sort of 35 to 40 minutes. So yeah, give or take like 40 minutes or 8Ks is what I was doing. I kicked off the Monday doing that, and like I say, I was battling a few little niggles. So as I was trying to do a little bit more strength focus in the gym as well, so I was getting at least sort of 30-40 minutes a day in the gym, mainly doing sort of banded work, so just working on the adductors, working on the glutes, things like that, just to strengthen above the knee. And then that then led me into the Thursday, which is when I did a session, and I did a minute on, minute off. I did 10 lots of minute on, minute off, yeah. And I think I was averaging around about 3:40, so it wasn't fast. I mean, like not like that sort of, when you're doing a minute, you expect to be running a little bit quicker. So it was nice to sort of just get the body moving a little bit quicker from there. Pulled up okay from that, did an easy 40 minutes on the Friday. And then on Saturday morning, just past there, I went out. I wanted to go out and just test myself. Like it's almost getting to the stage that I need to see how I'm going to feel like running a little bit of pace here. Like obviously did the 1 minute on, 1 minute off, and pulled up all right from that. So I thought I'm going to go out and run a bit quicker. I did obviously end up running a bit quicker, but I thought I'd do a park run. And there's a new one started just
Oh, yeah.
probably about 10 minute drive from where I am. It's about 7 kilometers away. So I did actually contemplate running there as a warm up and then doing the park run. But I thought if I pull up sore after the park run, I've then got to get home. So I thought that safe bet is just to drive there. Did a couple of laps of the lake beforehand. So I got 5Ks in beforehand and then did the park run. And I actually surprised myself. I ran 16:53. So it was like, yeah,
Very
this
good.
is this is
Solid.
pretty good. So I actually went out, as I do with most park runs these days, is just go out and just not look at the watch and just run to feel.
Yes.
And just used a little bit of motivation. There was a couple of guys just behind me. One guy had a pram. And for the first sort of couple of Ks, I could hear the footsteps behind. I thought that's the only motivation I need here. Just that's enough to sort of keep me going and just keep me working. And yeah, just pushed on through. I think I looked at the watch with about a kilometer to go, and I seen the average pace was 3:22. So I was like, oh, that's a bit of a so it was 3:23 at that stage actually, and then I kicked on to 3:22s, but. Unbelievably, like the last sort of 700 meters of the run, I could feel my left shoe coming a bit loose, and the next thing I looked down, my shoelace is out, and I could
Oh.
just my shoes coming loose, and I'm thinking like, what do I do? And I just thought I'm just gonna have to keep running. The only thought that crossed my mind was to stop, take the shoe off, and just run with one on and one off, because I'm not tying my shoelace because I'll waste 20 seconds doing that. So I was like, no, nah, I was just trying to grip with the toes, and just yeah, it probably wasn't like it changed my stride a little bit. But yeah, I was just determined. I was like, I'm on course to get sub-17 here, and I was like, I'd love to get sub-17 here. So yeah, ran 16:53, and then I did two laps of the lake to finish to give me 15K for the morning. So yeah,
How
pulled up
was the
pretty
park run?
well
Is it Dead
from
Flat
that.
there?
But
Capestone Lake
yeah,
Park Run, the
it
name of
is
it.
the Capestone Lake. Yeah, so it's flat. It's you run around the lake. You can't get right round. Well, you can't get right round it, but for park run purposes, you won't be able to because you've got to navigate a car park. So obviously, you wouldn't be allowed to run through that. So you kind of go out. You there's a turnaround point, and then you head back towards the start line. And about maybe 500 meters before you get back to the start, you turn and go back out again. And then there's a third turnaround point, which is around about a kilometer from the end. You turn around there, and then it's back to the finish. So, three turnaround points that slow you down a little bit.
Oh, yeah, for
Obviously,
sure.
the best part runs are just like straight out and back. But I don't think it knocked me around too much. It didn't slow me down too much. So,
That's
I'd be
amazing,
keen to
though.
go back and give it another crack and
2 weeks
yeah,
post
see how we go.
80K,
So,
40 years old in the heat, sub
so
17.
sub
Have you got
17.
the
So
record?
it's.
You got a record?
No, the course record is Aidan Hobbs. He did it on the first site. I don't know if you know Aidan Brooke, but Aidan's a big runner around the Brisbane area. Very, very good runner. He's the runner like a 15:16 or something. So it'll take somebody quick to go and try and nudge that one. So I'd like to go back and see if I can maybe nudge sub-16 at some point on the course. I think that's definitely achievable. So who knows? Who knows? But yeah,
Nothing
I
better when you find a fast one.
Sorry.
Nothing better when you find a fast one.
Yeah, and don't be wrong. There's definitely like faster courses out there still, but it's good. I'd love to go back just as a comparison, just to see like how much sort of quicker you can go. So, yeah.
What's the PB again? A high 15, 15:50 or something, is it?
On the course,
No, your PB of all
on
time.
my PB is 15:16, so the same as the course record
Fifteen
there. So,
sixteen. I'm a bit off there. Yeah, that's amazing. And
So.
then Sunday, did you get out for a long run at all?
Sunday, I wanted to go for a little bit of a longer run, but I was a bit depleted. I didn't eat an awful lot, and I was under fueled. And I went out, and I went out later in the day. And I got to 5Ks, and I just thought I feel really flat here. I don't feel good at all. I was running with just a bottle of water. That was all I had when I was running, and I wanted to maybe do 15Ks, 15, 16Ks. I thought that would get me about 70Ks for the week. And yeah, I got to 5. I felt flat, and I just thought I'll keep jogging here, keep jogging. And I thought, right, I'll try and get to an hour. And I got to an hour, did 12 Ks, and just called it there. And I was like, that's it. And yeah, so I ended up doing 65 or 66 Ks for the week. So it was a pretty good week, just to ease back into the first week of running post ultra. So yeah.
Yeah, you did 15K on the Saturday.
Yeah, well, I did obviously get the 15Ks on Saturday, which was good. So you
it's a very short class long that
as a bit of a mid-run, if you like, yeah. Middle distance run, yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. And then this week coming, it's a Wednesday, isn't it, that we sit here? Losing track of the days and the school holidays, but you're going to push it a bit further this week?
Yeah, I will try. Like, on Monday, I didn't end up running. School holidays here, so I actually took our oldest down to Dream World for the day, so I didn't get a chance to run, and by the end of the day, I was just exhausted. I was going to try and run on Tuesday morning, and I was just flat. I was just like, no, I just can't do this. So I waited until the afternoon, and I got out and did an easy 10 in the afternoon, and then I felt like that gave me a lot of energy, so I went to work in the afternoon after running, and I finished about 6:30, and I was driving home, and I was like, you know what, I want to go and do a session now, so like while I'm feeling good, so I basically came in the door. I've actually got a new pair of shoes, the Mizuno Wave Rebellion Pro 2, so that's in line, that's what I think I'm going to run the marathon in Noosa. I've always wanted to branch away from Nike, so I've decided to go with the Mizuno. So I went out and tried them for the first time last night. I did 5 sets of 2 minute effort, 1 minute recovery, 1 minute effort, 1 minute recovery. So yeah, felt pretty good running them for the first time. I don't think they're a super fast shoe, but I think they're a good, they'll be a good marathon shoe. So
yeah,
I don't think I'd use them over 5K. But yeah, definitely keen to try them. I'm probably going to like take it easy the rest of the week and then do a bit of a marathon tempo session on Saturday morning and take the Mizunos for a longer spin and see how they pull up after that. So yeah,
cool. I'll check the Strava on Saturday, see how you've gone.
Yeah, see how we go. Yeah,
that's good. Well, Brooke can go up next, and I think your week last week was better than most of them prior. So
I finally feel myself. Like I said to Mona, I feel like I'm running like Billy Brownless for the first weeks, few weeks. After my injury, but I actually found after the COVID, I've been struggling with recovery from runs, so I've decided to do my main run for the day at night. So I've been running at like 7:30 p.m. and mainly on the treadmill, and I actually really enjoy it because I feel like I can get my son to bed, and it was a bit weird to get used to, but I think I actually enjoy it. So the start of last week I started doing doubles, so I did 6K in the morning, just easy, and then I've been doing just minutes. So just going by like 60 minutes or 2 hours, or just instead of worrying about Ks. So I did, 30 minutes in the morning and then 60 minutes at night while I was watching I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It's my new fave show. gets me through the And then I did strength. So on my session days or long run days, I do strength in the morning. So I did strength, and then I did my first 2 hour run at night. So I finished at like 9:30. And then, didn't get to sleep till 12. And then, but I actually find that I find that easier to recover from because I get that full 12 hours before I have to run or strength train again. So I'm actually, it's evened out the training. Instead of doing like a double with that closer bracket, it's now just like every 12 hours I'm training. So, and yeah, it's just, I can just be lazy and lay in bed. So I feel like I'm recovering much better. And then, first 2 hour runs, I was really happy with that. I felt really good. The next day I just did 60 minutes at night, and then I did my first 8x1K session. I just did on the roads just at the front of my house because they're really flat. I originally went down the road where I usually train, but where I live, it's like so much wildlife. There was like 5 eagles circling me, like massive eagles. And Riley told me one day that if they're circling you, they're going to like, and they were also like coming down and flying very low. So I just thought, oh my God, this is not good. So I ended up, just doing the session at the front of my house where there was no birds. But I went, I wasn't feeling that good. I think I was still recovering from the 2 hours on the Tuesday. So I just sort of had the mindset, like, just get it done. You know, we just have one of those days. We just like, just tick it off. Like, don't stress about the pace. Just do what you can. I just felt really stiff and just not good. I end up averaging like 3:42, which is a lot slower than what I usually would do a few months prior. But I still feel like that was really, really good session. And just ticked it off really. So got that done. And then the next day did 75 minutes just on the treadmill at night. I actually went and did park run as my double in the morning. So I've been doing like the shorter run in the morning. So like this morning I did 30 minutes and then I'll do an hour later. And it was really nice to do a park run, like not trying to go really fast. I feel like I just enjoyed it so much more. It's just our local one, but I hadn't seen a lot of our local runners in so long, and just even some of the students I used to teach at the school around. And I don't know, do you know Nathan Stoat? Have you heard of Nathan Stoat?
Yeah, he's
a runner in the area. I didn't see him there, but just like, yeah, just lots of people in the community that I just haven't seen in ages. So it was really good to do that. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. So I think I'll keep doing that. That morning park run is just, yeah, a fun run. Then I did 60 minutes at night. And this is probably my hardest run for the week at the moment because Riley's footy started. So Riley's got footy all day and I take Huddy. It's just a big day out. It's usually freezing. So we're out and about for like, yeah, 6 hours of the day. And my son decided to wet his pants while he was stuck on the playground. So that was fun. And then I had to, yeah, so it's like I had to put him to bed, had that big day out, put him to bed, and then did my run. And then Sunday morning, I had strength, and then in the afternoon, I did my 10K threshold. The threshold training I'm really enjoying. Like I've never really gone by heart rate. And yeah, just this whole way I'm structuring my training lately, I just really am enjoying my running so much more, because it's just really just about getting the mileage in and just, yeah, getting those minutes on the legs and not stressing too much about pace. I think in the past I've tried to push every run really fast, and yeah, it's almost like changed my relationship with the sport and running, whereas I feel like now it's just, I'm just enjoying it because it's much slower and it's not, I'm doing the two sessions instead of three, so I don't feel like I'm dying all the time. But yeah, just this whole threshold training is really changing my whole mindset about it. I just can't wait to race at that effort. So I just, at the, like my pace for that heart rate at the moment is about 4 minute pace. And I think the old me would have been stressing about that pace, but I've just learned to just let go now and just trust the heart rate of where it's at and just trust that it will come with time and, you know, just focus on building those weeks on top of each other. So yeah, I've just been doing that. I think I did average, yeah, 403 for that 10K threshold, and the heart rate was between the zones of like, I usually try and stick between 160, 175. So yeah, I finished that one. And then Monday I did 30 minutes in the morning, 60 minutes at night. And then yesterday I got another 2 hour run done as well. Felt really good. I found in that run yesterday, it's a real mental battle. Like after an hour of the first hour, I was struggling so bad. Yeah, that's my Monday. Actually, Jess Hull does her long run on Tuesdays. So we're team.
Don't believe it.
Tuesday long run.
It's a thing.
So you can race on the Sunday. And then, yeah, this run I was doing, I was like really struggling, like just thought, no, I'm not going to do it. Like I said to Riley, I'm not going to finish this run, no way. And then I just sort of, I took an extra gel at about an hour in, and I don't know, just things just clicked. Do you ever find that you sort of, you think you're not going to have a good day because you feel rubbish, but then all of a sudden something clicks and you're like, oh, I'm good now. Like it's like just a bad wave you get through.
Yeah.
So then I just end up finishing the extra hour and I felt fine. So yeah. So I'm glad that things are back on track. That first week was my first one over 100Ks. Like it was 123 for the week. And yeah, from now on, I'll go to 130 and try and stick at 130 all the way until Noosa now. So, and I'm doing, getting ready. So I've got the New Zealand half this weekend, but I've decided, because I've had a few interruptions, that I'm not going to taper. I'm just going to train through and use it as a threshold. So I'm not sure whether I'll just sort of go at a threshold heart rate that I can hold for the full event, or whether I'll break it up and do like 10K easy and then 10K at threshold. So I think I'm just going to train through just because I just don't feel like I'm ready to race yet. And I feel like it's just going to be a waste of a week if I taper. Like I think I'm feeling really good with so much mileage. So I'm going with my mum to New Zealand. So I've just found all these places to run in New Zealand, and I'll just treat it like a normal training week. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm really loving that now I've decided to do the halves and fulls, and I'm thinking about doing a full at the end of the year because Riley and I want to go to Europe. So I'd love to do Valencia, but I don't know. I just, I'm really enjoying just deciding to do the halves and the fulls now. Like, I just, it's so much more enjoyable. Like, I used to have this really old mindset where I used to think, oh, marathons, like, no way. Like, it's just too hard. The training's too hard. But, like, it's so much more enjoyable. Yeah, because
yeah, it's
like
more comfortable
that.
Training,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
I reckon
absolutely.
A progression at the half marathon this weekend. Like, just start comfortable and give yourself some real confidence and finish firmly at the end, but not spend all that time wasting energy and running it as fast as you can, like you said, considering you're not in that mindset physically and mentally.
Yeah, I actually thought about that. I thought I could do like increased effort every like 20 minutes, because I think I'll finish in like 1:25, which is around that 4 minute pace, or even a little bit slower. But yeah, I did think about that, like every 20 minutes, just increasing the pace.
Yeah, just pick a time limit, like, yeah, with that, and see if that works. I think that'd definitely give you confidence.
Yeah. So yeah, it should be good.
That's good. I heard you listened to a very important podcast episode last night on that 2 hour run.
Oh yes, yeah, it was really good. I love hearing all that, the stories of that era, because it's like sort of Mona's era, isn't it?
Like, yeah, he's about 5 years older than Mona. This is my dad, by the way. I interviewed him last night for the listeners if they want to jump on the mainstream series.
No, I love the way that they are, that just their mindset towards running back then. And yeah, the stories. And I love a story about holding the dumbbells and sprinting up hills.
Yeah.
Is it up a hill?
Yeah, in Bunyaville, which is a very hilly, gravel-based area west of Brisbane. Running with dumbbells, like 2-3 kilogram dumbbells in his hands, and running hard hills. It's just crazy.
I love that.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I might get to my week then. Kind of lost where I was on Strava, but I was away at Burram Heads up the coast. You guys ever been to Burram Heads before in Queensland?
No.
Never, no.
I'm not surprised. It's nothing doing there much. It's full of retirees, a smaller town. It's lovely. It's pretty chilled and that kind of thing. And there's no waves at the beach. It's covered by the Fraser Island masses, which, yeah, protect it from getting any kind of surf. But it's just one main road in there and a bunch of streets you can run around in and some very, very sandy trails. There's, by chance, though, one dirt road, which is about probably 1.5 to 2K long, which I just go to and do all my training, the sessions anyway, along there. So had Monday off and got to that dirt road on the Tuesday and tried a progression, actually, Brooke, as we talk about it before, just dropping. I love these sessions where you drop the rep length. So I did 1K, 800, 400, then 200, and did two each of them. So 2 1Ks, 2 800s, 2 4s, and 2 2s. I had noticed, though, in this session, I've lost a bit of speed. I think I need to do more of it. I just struggled to get that much faster in the 200s and 400s. Like running, I think my first 200 was about 1:12 relevant pace for 400. Like that's 3 minute pace for a 200. That's pretty poor, really. The second one, though, my final rep was half decent in low 30s for 200. But when you talk about the world record being down at 19 seconds, it's just crazy how fast these guys are compared to distance runners. And then on the Wednesday, sorry, you go.
Do you do strides?
I do strides, probably not enough. I used to do them more so in the week after an easy session, particularly before a session day. Do like 6 to 8 of them and also progress them. Like just get quicker, start at sort of 3:30, 3:40 pace and get down to like even sub 3s for maybe 20 seconds, 80 meters, 100 meters, 150 tops, and almost always before sessions, at least 4 of them. And yeah, for those who don't know what they are, that's just simply running at the pace you will, or if not faster, in that session beforehand to increase things like range of movement, get the heart rate up, get you prepared for the session. But I think they're a great thing if you can incorporate them as much as you can, because they don't have any like a physical impact, do they, in a detrimental way for the next day. They're more so just to get your body moving quicker and used to that speed, a turnover.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps, like with keeping your speed.
Yeah. And then, 10K, kind of had a theme of just trying to get 10K clicked over. This is, by the way, I was up there with my parents-in-law. They live there at Burram Head. So with the family, those two, and then my wife and my two kids. So it can be hard to get out. And we tried to do a podcast as well the other week, and it just didn't work. Heaps of things going on around me. 10K easy on the Wednesday. On the Thursday, I did a pram run. Oh, and some strides, actually. I'm looking at it now as a reminder. after running on the pram. So just put that aside. Actually, yeah, just parked my three-year-old in the street, quiet street, in a very safe spot. And I literally ran 80 meters away from him and said, "Hey, daddy's going to run fast now. Just watch. I'll be back in a second, maybe closer to 60 seconds. But yeah, ran away from him, came back. And I'm like, you're okay, buddy? You know, how was that?" And he's like, "Yeah, daddy's fast. Keep going, you know." And he didn't really care. So did eight of them in that. And then Friday got back to actually with the Burke guys, but running group in Brisbane on the Friday. They have a threshold at a place called Kia Nawa Park. Now that's in Tingalpa of Brisbane on the southeast side. And it's literally like a, I'm not sure if you guys seen it on my Strava, but it's just a ring road. More so ring roads normally surround something inside it, but this road sort of is in between a bunch of cricket fields on the outside of it. It's 700 meters long and dead flat, just road as well, asphalt. And we just loop around that as a group. Tends to get about 5 to 10 runners, unlike the Burt sessions, which seem to be closer to 40, 50 sometimes. And did a 5K threshold at 17:28. So I was pretty happy with that. That was about maybe 90% effort. When you said, Paul, before you ran a 16:53, I might have some work to do, but that was just running behind two blokes who just agreed we'd run at about 3:30 pace. And it felt pretty good. Like I know I can run quicker than that. And it was just a good effort to run consistent pace at about 3:30s for that. And good to be back with the Burke guys there. I've just been having troubles getting there with the new job up north at Nudgee College and the newborn as well. And then, yeah, next day. So I live in a very flat area, but there's some hills. But to get the hills, you kind of like got to go up and down. It's like on the ridge or the edge of the hill to actually get elevation. So I've run 10K over them. How's this for elevation, Paul? Probably not that great. 128 meters for 10K. I've always thought about 10 meters per K is like half decent for a road runner. Let's say you run a half marathon, you're running about 210 meters then elevation. That's an undulating half, isn't it?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that's like, it depends obviously what your main goal that run was, but yeah, I wouldn't say that's much elevation over 10K, like 128.
No, but at least, yeah, it's hills for me and something different to running around.
Yeah, I did see that run on Strava actually. Yeah, it's like, looks like you're running around in circles and up and down streets. So yeah.
Yeah, that
was interesting. Good way to get some rolling hills in, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the Saturday. Actually, the Sunday before on Easter, I got out for an 18K progression. I was at Majimba. Dad's got a beach unit there. And worked my way from like 440s down to, I think, the high 350s maybe to finish with. So I was, took Monday off and then went into that Tuesday session at Byron Heads. But this Sunday, just gone, did the Brisbane Roadrunners event with Dad, which was awesome. 20K, just a jog with him. He wanted to run sub 5 minute Ks for a 65-year-old. Who's been going through a bit lately. If you want to find out what he's going through, listen to the interview that I had with him last night. But he ran 15K, pulled out, but heaps of rain there, and good to be back amongst the running community. And he's a bit of a hero down there. They all know him. So as we looped around a 2K course, everyone's just saying g'day and waving out to Dad. I didn't know too many runners, actually. He was far more popular than I was down there. I knew a handful, but he seemed to know about 30 of them. Most of them being in his running group, the Watts Athletics group down there who run a lot. So yeah, 12 weeks of 70 to 80K for me. And I talk about consistency. I can probably never, like most of us, boast about being that quick as a runner because there's always someone fast, but I'm happy to boast about how consistent I am. And that's 12 weeks of 70 to 80K bar 1 week, which was my son's birthday on the Sunday and didn't get out in the morning and thought I'll get out in the arvo. Then I was cleaning up all day and didn't get out in the afternoon. So that 1 week must have been about 15K short. So very happy with that. And as we move into the colder months, hopefully that mileage and consistency will bode well. See how we go.
What do you think is the key for you staying that consistent? Like, is there anything that you do that makes you be that consistent?
I think, well, the running, commuting, certainly, like to work, helps with that. But I've also spoken about just the mindset of running is routine. So if you commit to running, for me, every day, bar one day rest, then you're going to do it right. And I just think now, if I can get to 70, 80K, that's the number one priority. The next priority is that I fit in a session. No, actually, I'll take that back. The next priority would be I'll do a long run as number one priority away from the mileage. And then the quality would come third in that. And I think that's where runners get it wrong. They try and get out sessions, even say 3 sessions a week and do nothing else. Whereas I think the consistency is about working out what works for you comfortably in the week to get the mileage you want. And then from there, like pick out what you want to do in terms of quality and faster stuff.
But do you do, like, is your sleep pretty consistent? Is your fueling and eating? Oh, no.
I've got a baby, Brooke. No way. You know how it works.
Honestly,
the last 3 weeks have been terrible because she's been unwell. We've been unwell. That stomach bug I spoke about, I had that for about 2 to 3 weeks. Just couldn't eat properly. But, yeah, definitely nutrition. And I'm not going to say that not having sleep is fine. Like, sleep is probably the paramount thing for that. But it's nutrition on top of that. But ultimately, it's mindset. If it means that much to you, then what are you going to sit around all day or not go out because you're too tired or it's raining or it's too hot? Like, I think we all sit here and probably agree with that, that if we've set a goal that we're committed
That's the number one thing as well. You say goal setting. I think if you've got a goal and you've got a bit of structure, then that makes it a little bit easier. Like, I always find when I'm coming off with something, that's, again, like, it's good now to have Noosa, like the marathon coming up after the running the ultra, because, like, as much as I enjoyed that week off, like, I struggled probably just to get back in to running again. But it was like, well, I know I've got the marathon coming up, so, like, get the joggers on and get back out and get running again, because I'll probably have just fallen into, like, oh, let's have another week off. So you can get a little bit lazy, but yes, you've got that structure and that goal. I always find it, like, running somewhere different, particularly on the easy runs as well, is more enjoyable. If you're constantly, like, I mean, obviously, like, all of you run commute, so you've got no choice for that, but I tend to try and mix it up where I'll get on the trails or I'll run around home or I'll run around work and just try and mix it up a little bit. I find that helps with the consistency as well.
Yeah, I think
variety spice of life.
Yeah. But also just being content with not having a variety, like being comfortable. I'm happy to circle around my house for 10 or 20K if I need to. Like,
yeah.
I don't hate that. And the goal, like the primary goal, someone, I'm sure you guys would agree too, said, hey, you can't race now for the rest of your life. Are you going to stop running if you can't race? Probably not. You're probably going to keep running just because it makes you a better person. And that, like, that's the goal for me. I'm better, yeah, like, better for it that day. And in general, if I've gone out for a run, like, I know that, my wife knows that. Probably not so much my work employees think that's relative to my running, but they certainly don't see me in a mood as good as I am when I am running. So I think ultimately that's the goal that really drives that consistency, Brooke.
Yeah, I think it's similar what you just said then. It sort of links back to the COVID time, because we didn't have races, but majority of us still ran, because, you know, if you want it enough, you'll do it. You'll get it done, you know. And I think it's more just a lifestyle thing for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it is now. It's booming, isn't it? But in the last 10 minutes here, I think it'd be awesome to cover a little bit about nutrition if you guys had some time. I know, Brooke, you're heading off in about 10 minutes. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad, particularly Paul, and probably more so Brooke than me too, I'd put myself third in the list here of not so much knowledge in nutrition. I think I'm pretty good there. I've actually done some study in nutrition many years ago and obviously read about it and recommend things for athletes still. But I don't sort of take nutrition much in terms of when I'm running, because I don't run very far. So the most I'll have is, say, a gel in a long run. And that's really about it, like a maximum one amount of gels per week. And I'm content actually just heading down to Woolies and grabbing the Winners brand. I can take anything. My stomach's pretty tough. And I haven't had a problem since in a race or training with the old Winners. But I've just headed to the trail running store in Barden in Brisbane over the weekend. And just coincidentally, a mate, he's working there, and he recommended the, is it Coda, the brand, if I'm correct?
Yeah, Coda's a brand, yeah.
Yeah. Got the berry, same flavor as Winners. Didn't taste that much different, actually. And he even had my back. He said, "Hey, mate, they've all got the same. Is it maltodextrin or something like that that's in all of them?" He said it won't be much different, but give it a go. Just practice with one of them first. I had one of them the other day, and that seemed to be okay for me. And the last thing I'll leave it with that from my point of view is that on the race day for me, it's usually a gel beforehand for a half marathon. This is. And then I'll have one when it starts to get tough, like say 13 to 15K. I'll have the second, and that's it for me. And a little bit of water. If it's a cool half marathon, I don't take on too much water as well through a half marathon.
Do they have personal drinks at Noosa?
They do.
They do. Okay,
They do.
awesome.
Yes, they do. I don't. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you just got to hand them in the day before, or I'm not sure if you can hand them in the morning of, but yeah, I think the day before.
Are you going
Just
to do that?
double check on the web. I don't know because we because of the like the it's a looped course. I know quite a few people going up. So I might I'll either look at that or I'll look at maybe somebody handing me drinks on the side as an option as
Yeah.
well. So yeah.
Well, that'd be exciting. I prefer to do sports drink because I feel like I can get two birds with one stone because I can get the fluids in electrolytes as well. I actually get, when I did my long run yesterday, I get a Big Maximus and I pour one Winners gel and then I shake it up and that works out to be about 100 grams of carbs, which is what I need 2 hours because it's 30 grams of carbs every. This is for training protocols, 30 grams of carbs every half hour to be 60 grams for the hour. But then there's been new research shown, and this guy I really like from Fuelin, he owns this app called Fuelin, Scotty, and he's done a lot of research in saying that you can even go up to 120, especially if it's a race, because like race, obviously you're going harder and faster. So I think I'm going to start trying to get like, because that's two gels per half hour. Yeah, is to get 120 grams of carbs, but you have to be careful if you're going over 60 grams of glucose per hour because the receptors of glucose can upset your stomach and get gastric issues. So if you have a gel that's got Morton's got mix of fructose and glucose, you can do double Morton because it won't. There's less of a chance of gastric issues. Yeah, that was interesting. Something I learned recently, but yeah, exciting to try. You'll be like fully carved up. It'll probably be feeling.
That's interesting. I probably went down the road of probably sports drinks more, or like just like the powder, right? And just adding it to water. Yeah, more in recent times. I still use gels. I use the pure nutrition gels, and I find they're they sit quite well with me. That's something I've probably been using for the last sort of maybe 2 or 3 years. But yeah, on like during the ultra, I started off with a sports drink with gels, lolly snakes, and I actually had Gatorade. And by the end, the Gatorade was the one thing that was most consistent. I was taking the Gatorade, water, and the salt tablets. And I think obviously over the course of 80Ks, it's good to have those sort of like four or five different things. So like you reach this, because I've been in marathons before where you reach a stage where you're taking a certain gel or you're drinking a certain like drink, and you just suddenly, I don't want that anymore. I don't know if that's you've
Yeah.
ever experienced that, and you just stop taking it because it's like it's not sitting well. I'm just not enjoying it. So on the ultra, there was a like I was drinking I can't remember the brand I was using now, but I had a sports drink and I had the gels, and like I say, by the end it was just the Gatorade. Like that was the best thing. It was the only thing that was sitting well with me with the water. So
Yeah.
it was good to have that by the end. So
Do
in
you have
terms of
caffeinated gels, decaffeine?
The caffeinated gels and the caffeinated sports drink as well. It's annoying. It's a Tailwind. That was the Tailwind was the was that's what I was using. I was using Cola Tailwind. That's caffeinated as well. So
Okay. I've heard that one. Yeah.
yeah. I started using that recently, maybe 2 months ago. I started trialing that during my ultra training. And that like I said, it sat well for me for most of the time. But just by the end of the run, I was just like, no, I'm just not enjoying this anymore. It's not gone down well. So yeah.
I'm definitely on your idea, Ollie, about the winner's gels. Because I feel like gels are bloody expensive too.
Yeah.
Like I said to someone the other day, if I had to like go and buy so many expensive gels, It costs me a bloody fortune, but when the winners go on sale, like, why not? Your body doesn't really care as long as it's getting majority. Well,
it's the same with the salt tablets I was using. If you use the salt sticks, you had the brand salt sticks, you buy those, like, obviously they're flavoured, so they're easier to take. You can chew them and, like, they're orange tang and whatever, but I think they're $70 for, like, 100 bucks or something. Like that. The ones I bought just over the counter are, like, $12 for, so yeah. I could buy almost, like, six of these for the equivalent of buying the salt sticks. So I just feel, yeah.
It doesn't need to be fancy. I think that's the message. It doesn't need to be fancy products. Like, as long as you've got the main
that's it. And if it works for you, then, yeah, do it.
Yeah,
I think the main thing too is, you practice it in training and don't have anything different on the day. But also the fact that don't be afraid to have it. I think now there's a bit of a shift in nutrition for runners, in the sense that whole running and fasting thing's not as big as it used to be. I think runners are starting, and coaches, to agree that why not have, even in an hour and a half run, why not have a gel? Because you're going to eat afterwards anyway and refuel. So why not do that whilst you're running, so you can remain in that pace and sort of start to refuel before you've even stopped. And Brooke spoke about the smoothies the other week. just watching the food and intake around the running, that, you can eat a fair bit. Obviously, sugar's important, and watching exactly the sugars you take in. But I think runners, especially if they're running, you know, like us, and up to 150K, it's okay to have some food that's bad, you know, that's takeaway or the more refined processed sugars.
Used to be like a much worse stigma. Like, it used to be really common for runners just to take nothing, and that was almost like, you know, like a flex, you know what I mean? To just have no fuel. But it's definitely changing. Like, I always think back to stories that Mona tells me about all his runs. He never took any fuel. And I'm just like, oh my God. Like, you just feel so much better when you have that fueling. Like, you just, it's like a little, you know, a little rocket in your body that's like, yes, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's changed.
Yeah. And we could talk for longer, a minute and a half on the clock. As usual, the timer there leading us to hopefully an episode that's of a good length for the listeners. And we covered nutrition there for a bit today, which is good, and some of those recent news events, and spoken, as always, about our running weeks. How far away are we from the event? Is it 6 weeks from
6 weeks, yeah.
Noosa? Yes. So hopefully we can continue to inspire those who are signed up for the event, or just in general, to learn more about running.
It's sold out.
That kind of thing. I think
it's sold out. Yes, it is.
Is that every event though? Is that the half and marathon are sold out?
Just the half and marathon.
Isn't there a 10 and 5?
The 10 and 5 still spaces available in that. But
yeah, a bit like Gold Coast, I think they have the 10 and 5 free. So
yeah,
anyone listening who wants to get up there for a 10 or 5, I think I made the statement the other week that 10K is the hardest event out there. So if you want to do the hardest event and do it at Noosa, then your chance is there. So anyway, thanks for your time, guys, and appreciate your insights as always.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers, guys.
See ya.
Back to the baby. If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legend In Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you.